Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work in my office today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today. Welcome to Podcast 89, everybody. Welcome. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we started a series of mini podcasts.
Yeah. I called mine a podcast mini.
And I like that. I like that. Jen did her mini podcast and she just posted it. And then you posted your mini podcast. You called it podcast mini.
Yeah.
I like that too. Because it is. It's about 10 to 15 minute little mini podcasts that we're going to be posting throughout the week.
Yeah.
And really, I just felt like we could really, we could do more.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're watching on YouTube, YouTube is the only place that those podcasts are not.
Yeah, we don't post podcast minis to YouTube.
Yeah, but they're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, anywhere else in the world that
Apple
you could possibly
Music,
get your podcast from.
Absolutely. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can find Corners Youth and Young Adults Podcast.
Yep. So, that's right.
And this week is it's a big week.
It's a big week.
Did you hear?
I've heard a lot of things this week, so I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
No, this is a big, big week this week. You want to know?
Yeah.
On Thursday evening, probably sometime after dinner, something big is happening.
What's happening?
I guess that would be, you know, tonight if you're listening to the podcast. This podcast airs on Thursday. So tonight – something big is happening after dinner. You don't know what it is?
No.
This is good. You're gonna want to see this. This is right up your alley.
Okay, what's going on?
The Detroit Lions are revealing brand new jerseys.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes, brand new jerseys.
That's sick. Oh,
so
I'm excited
we're
about
gonna
that.
Have new jerseys for the brand new football season starting in the fall.
That's gonna be awesome.
That's gonna make our weekly picks that much more exciting.
That much way more exciting.
Oh my gosh. I'm actually excited.
Yeah, that's sweet.
That's what I'm saying. It's a big week.
Yeah.
If you're new to the podcast, the Detroit Lions play a large role in our lives. And when the season starts, we make picks every week.
Yeah.
And me and Pastor Aaron compete against each other for those picks.
Yep.
So we will decide whether we think the Lions will win or lose. And if we're right, then we win.
Yeah.
So sometimes our record is better than the Lions' record.
Right. I think your record was a little bit better than the Lions' record.
Yes, it was.
I think you were 13-4.
Okay. And then their regular season was 12-5.
Yeah.
And I was 13-4.
Yep.
Do you remember what you were?
I was either 11-6 or 12-5. I think I was one behind you.
All we do is just predict win or loss.
Yeah.
So, and if we are right, then we win, even if they lose. If we pick them to lose and they lose, then we're right.
Exactly.
That's just awesome.
It's great.
It's awesome. So, yeah, that's a big week for us.
It's a big week. Big week. I mean, I thought you were going to say something about like Friends Night is happening tomorrow.
You think I would, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends Night is happening tomorrow.
massive announcement for our young adult community that's watching or listening. That's where my mind was going. I'm like, yeah, we got Friends Night happening. Like,
you'd think I'd be a little bit more in tune to the church side of things, but I'm like so excited. I know. I'm really not. I mean, I am, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's funny because we can get really we can get really busy around here, and when we get really busy, I take my day my days are like I can do one day at a time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So like I don't know. We're breaking down the fourth wall here.
Yeah.
Today's a Tuesday when we're recording this podcast.
Right.
Now you will be able to listen to the first time on Thursday, but in my mind it's Tuesday, and I've got a lot to do today. So I have
that has
a hard,
nothing to do with Friends Night on Friday.
Nothing to do with. I mean, some of my duties today have a little bit to do with Friends Night on Friday, but the reality is that my real attention starts on Thursday for Friends Night. Honestly.
Yeah.
It really does.
Right.
So because I'm preaching Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that message still. I worked on putting together some information for this podcast. I had a bunch of other meetings today. I love Jesus's words.
Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow.
Today has enough worries of its own.
Come on. Jesus knew what he was talking about.
I'm just living biblical truth over here, folks.
Come on.
And maybe there is other people out there right now who can identify with me and Pastor Aaron where we're like, today has all my attention. I can't even think about tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And for
God,
sure.
God bless your life.
All right. Speaking about biblical, what did you just say? You said biblical something.
I can't remember.
It's biblical. What if we said biblical virtues?
Oh, what if we said it?
What if we said biblical virtues?
I dare you to say it, Pastor Aaron.
Well, let's talk about some biblical virtues.
Yeah, I do want to talk about virtues today.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this might be boring. No, listen, there is a lot of confusion out there about virtue.
Yep.
The world right now is totally obsessed with this word virtue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ever heard of virtue signaling?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, explain to the podience, if you could, Pastor Aaron, and our YouTube audience as well. What is virtue signaling?
All right. Well, I might mess this up.
That's okay. I'll help you a little bit if you do it. And I might need a little help as well from you. So we'll figure it out together. I'm serious.
We'll figure this out together. So I believe virtue signaling is I don't know if showing off is the right word. I don't think that's the right word.
You are kind to be impressive.
Yes, that's a better – I was going to say show off, but impress is a better word.
Yeah, show off is a good word too.
You're being virtuous to impress other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called virtue signaling.
Yeah.
It's just selfishness.
Right.
You don't really care about the other person.
Yeah, you're going to show the world how virtuous you are so they can praise you for being virtuous.
There's a famous Hollywood guy out there. He really got famous on the television show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Have you heard of that show?
Yeah, I've heard of that show. I've never watched it.
There's a guy on there. He's really talented. He's done other things as well. And he's just recently come out I actually don't even remember what it was because it was kind of confusing.
Okay.
He didn't say necessarily like non-binary or anything like that, but he said something else. And essentially, he loves everyone.
Okay.
And he'll date you and love you and maybe even marry you. And he doesn't care at all how you identify. You could identify as a rabbit. He will love you. So that is there's some sort of label.
Okay.
Okay. And then he looked right into the camera and he said this very thing after he told the reporter what he is. He looked at the camera and he said, and I win. I win. I love everyone. I win. And he revealed the purpose behind all of this.
Yeah.
Is to look great.
Is to look great. Is to win. It's for him to win.
Yeah, it's for him to win.
Right. Not, oh, yeah.
He's not loving somebody so they can be loved.
No, he's loving them so that he can win, so he can look good.
That's right. It's called virtue signaling.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens a lot these days. It's a hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big idea, this idea of virtue. And, you know, it's funny because this Pastor Aaron started in the Bible.
Yeah.
Their word virtue is a biblical word.
Yeah. It was interesting when we were studying for this, I actually looked up just to get, because I know what the biblical definition of virtue is and I understand it, but I was like, I wonder if I just typed into the internet, what is a virtue?
Ah, yeah.
What does the internet say? And it basically gave me this description of something that is highly moral or a person that behaves highly with high moral standards.
Okay.
But it never clarifies what any of those moral standards are, which was interesting to me because I feel like
they didn't really define it.
No.
Okay.
And they just said to behave morally.
Okay.
Well, what is the moral standard? If there is a moral standard, there has to be a standard. There has to be something by which you measure it by.
Yeah.
And I was doing some research about standards then. And then, you know, if you went to like a research rabbit hole.
That's fun.
So it's kind of a little bit.
That's kind of how I live my life. I don't know about you.
That's kind of what I did. And I got into this rabbit hole about how we measure what a meter is. Like the length
yeah.
of a meter. And this changed in the 19th century. But before the 19th century, the standard of what a meter was they had this metal pole. And it was kept in a climate-controlled environment. It had marks on it. It was I can't remember the two. It was made of two metals so that it had the least properties of, like, shifting with, cold and heat will make metal expand or contract. So it had, like, they used the metal that did that the least amount. And, like, this was the standard. Everything was measured. Every meter had to be measured by this one pole.
Okay.
And I was thinking, if there's a moral standard, what is that one pole?
Wow. Yeah.
Because if you're going to say somebody's virtuous, there has to be some kind of standard place to measure that.
Huh.
And when I was trying to find that what that standard was by looking into what is a virtue, the internet really wasn't giving me a solid, this is what being the moral standard, the virtuous standard, this is it. It wasn't there.
So in the Bible, there's a clear definition and list of virtues. And the Bible identifies nine virtues.
Yeah.
I'll read them to you. Faith, hope, love, wisdom, justice, courage, moderation, integrity, and perseverance. And out of all those nine, and really depending on the translation, some of those words change, but they mean the same thing.
Yeah.
But out of those nine, two of them stand out the most in our walk with the Lord, and that would be holiness and love.
Yep.
So then out of those two, the greatest is love. That's according to 1 Corinthians 13:13. But faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is
love.
So we've got I want to bring this statement up to you that I found, and it's very powerful.
Okay.
I'll read it to you because the Bible precisely states that virtue is not granted or prized, but sought. A lot of what we receive as Christians is a gift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like salvation.
Salvation.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, grace, mercy, all gifts.
Yes. These are gifts, okay? But virtues are not gifts. They're things that we should seek.
Yeah.
So that's why the world is very much attached to this. Because they love the idea of going after these things. I think that's why the world is really attached. Because you talk about the gifts of the Spirit or things like that. The world really rejects these ideas of the gifts. Why? Because there's got to be a gift giver,
right?
Which acknowledges a much higher power than them.
Exactly.
Which eventually, you're gonna get to God. So they avoid all those, but they love this idea of these virtues that can be sought after. And the Bible is true, and when it says that these virtues are not gifts, they are things that we seek, that we hunt down, that we work towards. They're actually like hard work to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, have you ever tried to be holy?
That's hard.
It's hard
work.
That's
a life pursuit.
You ever tried to – let me give you an example of to prove your point of love, these very love, like all the – I can't remember all the nine off the top of my head. But
yeah.
Faith, hope, love, holiness, right? We're going to go through all these.
Yeah.
You think about love. Paul said the greatest of these is love. Let's just start with that one. It's pretty easy to love people that love you back.
Yeah. Yes.
It's easy for me to love my wife who loves me back.
Yeah.
Enter into the picture somebody who doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
Immediately that becomes difficult. It becomes work to love that person.
Yes. Very much so.
And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Like, it takes hard work, intentionality, pursuit for you to even represent these virtues.
Sheesh. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says to make effort.
Yeah.
Make effort, which really means this, there is a struggle.
Yeah.
In this. And I think because of this, Pastor Aaron, pride really gets in there.
Oh, yeah.
When you feel like you've achieved it, because you have to put this major effort. And when the world attaches itself to virtue,
yeah.
I really see a lot of pride.
Oh, yeah.
And like when that guy looked right in the camera and he's like, and I win. And you're like, whoa, that was an interesting turn of events. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh. And then there was a lot of like talk about after that, like, whoa, that was really intense. Is that really the heart behind this? I think it is. You know, like, oh, I think it is.
Yeah.
And you get lifted up in pride. But it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness into goodness knowledge. And it goes on and on and on. Make every effort. So those are some biblical virtues and kind of what the Bible has to say about it. And then, Pastor Aaron.
Yeah.
I did the same thing you did.
Okay.
I searched. I actually typed in, what are worldly virtues?
Okay.
And I wanted to see if there is a list out there.
Yeah.
And I did come across a list of worldly virtues. Boy, it's a whole lot more than 9 here. There's possibly 20 to 30.
Wow. Okay.
20 to 30 virtues listed. And I got them off this website. And I know it's really strange to type in. I wasn't even sure if that was the right like way to search world to search the keywords that I wanted to search, worldly virtues.
Right.
I thought, I'm not thinking anything's going to pop up. But that, man, a lot of stuff popped up. There's a lot of virtues here. Absolutely none of these virtues that were listed on this website had a scripture verse attached to it.
Right.
I felt like, okay, this is a pretty extensive list. It seems to be a pretty accurate list to what I was searching. And as I was going through some of these things, a lot of these virtues felt Christian-y.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And some of them didn't. Like some of the ones that really feel Christian-y would be like, actually they listed forgiveness, honesty, kindness, perseverance, loyalty, humility, wisdom. And then others didn't feel very Christian, didn't feel biblical at all, like willpower or creativity.
Yeah.
Energy. That was a virtue listed. Energy. Orderliness. Huh. Let's see here. Calmness.
Okay.
You know, to feel flexible. This is what it's my flexibility.
Flexibility.
Flexibility. Some virtues. Some worldly virtues. Now, they feel like a lot overlap with the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of Christians get confused.
Yep. 100% agree.
And that confusion leads you down a road and then you find yourself maybe trapped. Trapped in a worldly pursuit of virtue.
Yeah.
So if you're not careful, you'll begin to extend virtue the wrong ways.
Oh, yeah. And I think that you can really see this when you begin to take a biblical virtue, something that the Bible does say is a virtuous thing, and you begin to take that virtue and you slowly begin to change the definition of what it means.
Yeah.
And because at the surface, it sounds great, right? Like if you think about what love means. Well, there's so many different definitions of what love is.
Yeah, there's 3 different words for love in the Bible alone.
Yeah. And so, but to really get a good biblical definition of the kind of love that Paul is talking about as a virtue in 1 Corinthians 13, you have to go before he says, you know, that faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. You have to read what he's saying before that. And in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4 through 8, he gives this definition of what love is.
Yeah.
But when the world talks about, man, I have this love as a virtue, you know, this guy you were talking about, I will love everyone.
Yeah. Love. It's a virtue.
It's
a virtue. We're holding tight. We're holding on to this thing. And we do too as Christians.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same ideas.
Exactly. That definition of what that virtue is has been slowly changed. And when you get away from what God has ordained it to be with any of those virtues.
Yeah.
You know, and you I was thinking about forgiveness. Forgiveness was on that list.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is something that we are commanded to as Christians to do. But we're commanded to forgive because Christ forgave us. Because we have a standard, we can see what real forgiveness looks like. We have this incredible, beautiful, heartbreaking picture of Jesus being nailed to the cross, looking at the people who literally drove nails through his wrists and his feet and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We have this idea and this picture and this standard of what forgiveness looks like. And so that's why I choose to extend forgiveness. Why that's important to me is because I know that without God's forgiveness, I'm a sinner, like condemned to damnation and hell.
Yes.
And so I understand that that's where that's coming from. But if you don't have that backdrop, if you don't have that foundation and that understanding of what forgiveness really is about, your even definition and an idea of forgiveness can change.
Yes. I think that the biggest one, the biggest virtue that the world uses these days is this word called tolerance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big and virtue right now.
It's not what we're called to as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up this verse in the Bible, Romans 12:9, and there's another one. I think it's Amos 5:5. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. But tolerance says to love everything.
Yeah.
That's not what the Bible says.
Nope.
And I got thinking about this, Pastor Aaron, and I want to know your thoughts on this. Do you treat me the same way you treat your wife?
No.
I don't treat you the same way I treat my wife either. I am much, much more patient and forgiving and caring and loving and gentle and all the things that you could ever imagine with my wife than I am with you.
Yeah, same.
And I treat my wife different than I treat my kids.
Yep.
And I treat my wife different than I treat my parents or my coworkers. The list goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Would you say you treat your wife better than you treat me?
Yeah, probably.
How dare you? You're such a jerk. Because you don't love me the same way you love your wife. Does that sound odd?
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Pastor Aaron. The Bible is very crystal clear that there is we treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord differently than how we treat evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That I'm more patient with my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
I am more forgiving to them. I will all the virtues. I extend virtues to my brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I do not do that with a stranger or an evil person.
Yeah.
I don't treat them the same way.
No.
Does that make me a jerk?
No, it doesn't make you a jerk.
I don't think so either.
No.
You see, that's how it starts to play out.
Yeah.
That's how it starts to play out. But then if you truly do use a wisdom and a little thought and a little a foresight, wait a second, I don't treat everyone the same.
Yeah.
And the Bible clearly tells me not to treat everyone the same either. I treat Jesus differently than how I treat you.
Yeah.
I'll treat the president of the United States differently than how I treat somebody else. I'll have more respect. I'll have more things like
that.
It's very natural. It's very normal. And it's very biblical.
Yeah.
Very biblical. And it's so important that as Christians that we do set up guardrails to keep out evil.
Yeah.
And to protect the herd, to protect the house of God, to protect our families.
Yeah.
To protect our, you know, hey, if you lock your door at night when you go to bed, then you, my friend, are intolerant. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah, because you have to push this ideology of tolerance and this virtue. If you push it to its extremes.
Yes, that's where they – well, they do.
It's absolutely absurd.
And but the thing is, I think some Christians are getting trapped in this idea of love and tolerance.
Yeah.
To the point where they've stopped using actual, real, true, not just common sense, but actual biblical reasoning.
Yeah. And biblical wisdom.
A biblical standard.
A biblical standard. There you go. Because when there is this standard, we treat people differently. I was thinking about, Paul writes that, you know, we treat people in the world differently than we treat people in the church. And he said, if I was trying to avoid all evil everywhere, I'd have to leave this world.
Yes.
He's like, but when you're talking about people in the church, you don't allow evil.
Yes. Don't allow evil through the doors.
Don't allow evil in the door. I was thinking about, you know, we use this analogy a lot. We're talking about like raising kids and raising your family. But I was thinking about it as a youth pastor, you know, where people talk about, you don't let evil into the flock.
Yeah.
And there was a season in our youth ministry. I don't even know if I was actually the youth pastor. I might have just been a part-time employee here at the church. And there was some situations that were arising, some students who were really bringing evil into the youth ministry.
It's not good.
And part of me, and I've heard pastors talk about this before, part of me really wanted, I was like, man, I know that if they could just get it, they could change. And I wanted to show them grace after grace after grace, and I did. But then there became a certain point where I think I was actually having a conversation with you about it, and you said, Aaron, you have to, because it was over a small part of the ministry that I was helping to lead. And you said, Aaron, you have to do what the Bible says, just throw out the mocker and strife ceases.
Hmm. And they are taking advantage of your patience and your love.
Yeah. And you know what we did? We said, hey, you can't come here and ride this bus anymore and come to our youth ministry.
Yeah.
And you know what happened?
How dare you? How dare you not let people come to church, Pastor Aaron?
Well, you know what happened is strife stopped happening.
Yeah.
I didn't have volunteers coming to me every Wednesday, literally in tears because of what these students had done.
Yeah.
I like that stopped.
Yes.
Fights in the parking lot.
Yes.
Stopped happening.
If they want to go to church, there is a church on every street corner.
Yeah.
They can find a new church. They don't have to find it. They don't have to be here unless they change.
Right.
They can come back.
Absolutely.
We will welcome back. We'll be excited that the prodigal son returning home.
Absolutely. But there is a measure of, listen, I cannot let evil continue to be in this place like this.
Yeah.
And we have to not just do that as pastors, right? I mean, you're a young adults pastor,
yeah.
Executive pastor, you're over creative. Like, you have tons of responsibilities here. I'm a youth pastor over the youth ministry. This isn't just a pastor thing. You know, both of us are
this goes well beyond pastoring.
Yeah. Both of us are husbands.
Yeah.
It goes even past being it absolutely should impact being a husband. You know, you're a father. My wife is pregnant. We're about to have our first child, but it goes even beyond fathering.
Yes.
It goes to a point of being, if you are a Christian, these are virtues, or living by these biblical standard of what a virtue is something that needs to impact how you live your life.
Yes.
And what you allow in. And I love that you brought up, you hate what is evil.
Yes.
And if you look through this at a biblical lens, and not just a verse lens, but if you look at a kind of a bird's eye view of the Bible lens at this, this becomes very clear.
Yes.
That God hates evil.
Yeah, well, he doesn't let it into heaven.
Exactly. And if God hates evil, then us as children of God, children of the light, not children of darkness, he's adopted us into sonship, right? John 1 talks about that. Then we should also hate evil.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll end with this one last thought, and I'll look into the camera and say this one, is that if you're a young person out there and you are having a difficult time figuring it all out and getting the truth, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Cover to cover.
Woo!
Then you will have all the wisdom, to yourself. You'll have it.
Yeah.
And you will not be deceived or confused any longer.
That's good.
All right. Oh, wow. This was a hearty bowl of podcast, too.
This is a hearty bowl of podcast, too.
This is more of a chili. It went beyond stew. This was a chili.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was awesome.
It's great to be with you today, Podience.
That's right.
Podcast 89?
89.
All right. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody.
Nothing's sticking anymore.
Well, can't work them off today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.